And everybody got your sword and ready to learn today? We're going to go back on the faith series. Today we're going to look at faith by going. Faith by going. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham. He was called to go. And how many knows we go a lot of places in our lifetime? Jan and I just went to Ada. How many heard that? Who'd have thunk it? Ada, Oklahoma. That's where we live now. So this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11 chapter, just a quick overview. The first message, we talked about Abel, and it was faith by offering. You remember the Bible said by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and we talked about that. And the application of that is, what are you giving? Are you an Abel? Are you a Cain? Are you giving according to Scripture? Are you like Cain, giving what you feel like giving? And hopefully you fit the offerings of Abel, giving what God commands. And but it was faith by offering. And then we looked at Enoch, and Enoch was faith by relationship, faith by fellowship. And some of you probably have a problem with that. You know people that you ask them what they do for the Lord, and they say, I just love the Lord, and I just, give Him praise. And then, well, I know, but what do you do? You want to know what they do. We're a society where we want to know what everybody does. And sometimes they'll say, well, I just attend church and worship the Lord. And we think sometimes faith is by doing, because James says faith without works is dead, and we understand that. But how many knows a relationship, an ongoing, loving, fruitful relationship is work. It's a lot of work. And so I'm so glad they put Enoch in there. And it was the only thing he was known for. He wasn't known for going or doing or building or anything. He was just known for his relationship. And I think why he put that in there is for us to remind us how important relationship is. Remember the first two commandments that everything hangs on, the Bible said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that's a great reason for him to put Enoch in there, that he got so close to the Lord that he fellowshiped. I thought about that as I was just reviewing, and I thought, there's probably people in the world that they're into doing, and Enoch wasn't doing anything, so they probably thought something like this. Well, he wasn't doing anything anyway, so God just took him. But how many knows he was doing the greatest thing, and that was loving God with all of his heart, mind, strength, and soul. And he had a testimony of that with everybody else in the world, so, it made the Scriptures, so he had that was his part by faith. And so never discount the power in relationship. And then Noah was faith by preparing. He prepared an ark, didn't he? He prepared an ark, and to the saving of the world he did. And we looked at Noah last week and the preparation and all that went into that by faith, and how God calls us to prepare things. God called us years ago to prepare Prayer Faith World Outreach, an independent interdenominational church, and is still here today. And when we leave, thank God, it'll still be here, and it will be in good hands. And it's something we birthed, and we'll talk a little more about that Sunday after next. But the preparing. What has God called you to prepare? What has He called you to do? And then today we're going to look at Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Faith is what gives us a good testimony. One of the things I think bears repeating is that, these individuals that have a testimony, I call this the Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, they made the Hall of Fame for faith, it wasn't a quick fix, it wasn't one thing that they did. Although Abel gave an offering, you have to grow the cattle and raise them and feed them and make sure that their babies are safe and then have a first calf and all. It's a process to give even. And so all of these are, faith is not just one event. Faith is a continued faithful journey along your way that you keep. And how many know sometimes it's hard to live by faith, isn't it? When God says love your enemy and somebody just mistreated you, that's hard by faith to love them, isn't it? When God says give and the finances are low and He's still wanting His tithes and offerings, and it's hard sometimes to give. So I understand that, and all, but you know what? That's the ones that make the Hall of Fame in faith. So today we're going to look at Abraham in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many knows it's something to go out if you have it planned out, mapped out, but if you just take off and you don't know where God's leading you, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Somebody described faith like this one time, and I thought it's pretty accurate. Said, when you're driving along down the road and you have your headlights on, you can only see so far down the road. And then if you put them on dim, you can only see right out in front of your car. But you know by faith the road continues going on because you've traveled it before. If it's an unfamiliar road and the headlights are out, you know, we've been snow skiing several times when it would be dark before we got there and the snow would be heavy. And you couldn't see off the side of the road whether the ditch was 10 feet or 1,000 feet. And knowing you're up in the mountains, that can be very scary sometimes. Most of the times it's places we had been before and skied before. But that's kind of what faith is. Sometimes God calls us to go and we're not sure exactly what it's going to be about. Not long ago, Anna went to Paris, wasn't it? And I'm sure that was exciting, but the unknown about that, and then for Donna, my goodness, you know, if your kid, especially a girl going to Paris by herself, you know, that's faith, just let her go. I'm surprised Donna didn't chain her down in the basement or something. By faith. But sometimes, you know, and then I was talking to Kayla this morning, she said something about Austin in New York City. Can you imagine a little Okie going to New York City? And I said, well, is he lonesome? Is he want to come back? No, he'll never probably move back. His next move may be L.A. Yeah, it's an Okie with a wonder. I mean, he's been called to go, hasn't he? Maybe someday we'll see him on a movie or something. He's out to be a movie star and famous and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's exciting to me to see people that have God has called them to go and do something. We've gone to Guatemala. We've gone to Dominican. We've gone different places in the world and helped people and built houses and wells and things. And that's exciting, isn't it, to go? And it's also a little scary. But he didn't know where he was going. By faith, verse 9, he dwelt in a land of promise. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise. Can I tell you something? In your going, don't forget that God has made you some promises. Whether it looks good or it looks bad, God has made you some promises in your going. When you're going where God called you to go, there's some promises that you can receive. That's really important that you remember that, because sometimes how many says on your journey, it doesn't feel very blessed. Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't feel very blessed. Sometimes it's kind of scary, isn't it? And so by faith, he said, man, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. And that's what we are. We're heirs with them in the same promise whenever we said yes to Jesus Christ. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so he's looking. He said, and by the way, just turn with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Because there's some things I want you to look at this morning that when it says that he didn't know where he was going, it really, that's what it meant. He did not know where he was going. And I think that's what's so great about the faith journey that he took. In fact, I'm not so sure, as I did this study, I'm not so sure that his dad, Terah, wasn't supposed to be the one to go and receive this promise and start this promise. Before we get into chapter 12, look at, just back up one verse in 11, Genesis 11:32. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and he died in Haran. And that is not where it says he was supposed to go. Back up one more verse and look. And it says, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them, from the Ur of Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. His dad was headed to Canaan. Listen, here, and the reason I wanted to bring this out, in your going, sometimes you won't make the destination if you're not careful. And I think we could have, instead of calling him Father Abraham, we could have called him Father Terah. I believe that, if he had gone on to Canaan. But maybe it wasn't his calling. Maybe he was just to take his son there. But whatever the reason, he stopped short of where was intended to go. Listen, in all of your going, sometimes we're going to stop short. How many knows? I think that's the difference between winners and non-winners. I don't call them losers. Non-winners is they stop a little bit short of where they're supposed to go. It's not much effort, but it's enough effort. Listen, if you're the kind of person that will go that extra mile, that go that little extra, I think you'll be successful in whatever you do. Whatever God has called you. Because it just takes a little extra. How many knows it took a little extra effort to get up and go to church today? Like the guy that told his mother, said, "I'm not going to church today." She said, "Well, you have to." He said, "No, I'm not going." He said, "Well, give me a good reason why I should go." She said, "Because you're the pastor. Now get up, you're going to church." That little extra effort was his mama, you know. So it took extra effort to get here today. You know, your pillow was making love with your head, wasn't it? Saying, "Lay here on me, stay here with me." But I thought it was interesting, whatever the reason was, he didn't make it. He didn't finish. So the call of God goes from his dad down to Abraham, and that's where we pick up in chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you." That's about what he knows. That's about all he knows. But here's what he did. He left everything familiar to him. He left his family. He left his relatives, his friends, and his country and his environment. When we left Oklahoma City this past year and moved to Ada, and we grew up around in that area, but it was a culture shock again. I mean, it's just different. You know, it's not far, but it's just different. I remember one of the first movies we went to, we said, you know, it's a popular movie. We thought, man, it's going to be packed. We used to go into the Warren over by our house. We said, we got to get there early. We got there early. We were the first ones there, and we wasn't all that early. By the time the movie started, there was 12 of us in the movie. It's like having a private showing at the movie. And I told Jenna, that screen's about the size of our screen at our house. It's bigger than that, but that's what it looked like in this little room compared to the Warren Theater. But I'm just saying, you know, we've been to Guatemala. Man, the culture's different. It's just, you know, you see people in the in different countries, they got the baskets on their head. That's the way the women, a lot of the women, they'll be walking down the street with a basket on their head, and they hate tourists to take their picture. I couldn't tell what they were saying, but I know they weren't happy when they're giving you that, just for taking their picture. I guess I don't have my makeup on. Praise the Lord, don't take my picture or something is what I interpreted. So he says he wants him to go. And here's the point I want to make. Here's the first point. Knowing where exactly we're supposed to go can be difficult at times. You know, when we've been doing a lot of prayer and searching and asking God before we moved to Ada, Oklahoma, but I just believe this is our journey. This is our faith journey. This is where we are supposed to go. And at times, though, it's just going to be hard for me and you to know exactly where it is, which job to go to, which town to live in, which church to attend. You know, all of these are goings, aren't they? All of them are. And when I think about coming up here and planting this church, the first time we moved to Oklahoma City and our going, I went in partnership with my brother-in-law that had two car lots, and we became partners and bought cars and sold used cars. And my wife was a young country girl, and she hated Oklahoma City. I'm telling you, that was not a good go for her. Her mama, I can remember my mother saying, "I can't believe you're leaving God's country. You thought we was going to Satan land." That's what she said. "I can't believe you're leaving God's country." I said, "Well," he said, "he's God in the city and God in the country." and we weren't too in tune with God's will at that time. We came to get rich, to have a business and all. And I remember by her, you know, kind of persuading me, and we moved back to Sulphur for a short season. And I can remember her saying, "Well, I kind of liked it up there," after we got used to it. And she had some family up here, and we got used to them and all. And so anyway, we wound up moving back up here. And I think this is why we moved back up here. It was to give birth to Prayer, Faith, World Outreach. So some of you that's been here for 20-something years with us, 10 years, 11 years, 15 years. Some of you knew, but you would have a place that fit you. I believe this was our sole, our main purpose was this right here, to birth prayer faith. I just believe that. And I believe there's something bigger than Jana having a job with the Chickasaw Nation. I think there's something bigger than just our daily routine. Family is going to be a part of it. We've already had people, this one of them said this weekend, my sister said, you know, her husband, she said he's like day and night since he's been hanging around Jack. I'm such a good influence. And I'm not trying to brag on us. I'm just saying, you know, God will do things through you and your going if you just be who you are and not sway in the wind. You know, by faith you go and you just be who you are. You know, you're going to be an influencer and you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And we've got two or three people now that just appreciate us living there in the fellowship and because of our standards and who we are and what we bring to the table. And God is opening doors. He opened some doors to do some training at the big casino for the, and I'm not gambling, I'm going to train if I take the position. We're looking at the material right now, and if we can tweak it where it fit us, we're gonna do a little training down there. If not, then I'll help them to tweak it and say, don't put my name on it. And then I had another call this week from a teacher that wants me to come and speak to their 70 teachers and down in that part of the country and thrilled about it. And so, you know, God is opening doors because we're going where He wants us to go. It's just the next chapter in our life. And He'll do the same for you. And if you'll just listen, where is it God wants you to go? What is it God wants you to do? Say in your strength. You know, Abraham was a farmer, a rancher, but he was solid. You look at his life and his values were family. You mess with his family, he would get his servants together and he'd come after you. His values, it was family. When Lot was about to be destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was in an intercession for Lot. And this is the same nephew, by the way, that chose the best part of the land. But there's a good point there when Abraham comes back and after journeying a little while, he comes back and he gives Lot a choice. And Lot looks at it, all the lush grass and lush fields, and he says, I'll pick that part. Here's a good lesson for us in our going. Don't get too greedy and don't get too excited about somebody getting your spot or your plot or whatever it is. Because how many knows, if you're going where God sends you, it will be a blessing. He said, wherever you go, I will bless you and make you a blessing. So remember that. He'll not only bless you, but He'll make you a blessing in all your going when you stay hooked up where God wants you to go. And here's something, it talks about Abraham, he goes, and I won't read it all, but he moves three times. He's searching and he's searching and he's searching and he's praying, but he moves. When he gets to Canaan, he moves around three times, and then, of all things, a drought comes and he has to move again. Now, how many's ever thought, right in the middle of God's blessing, there's going to be a drought? Can I tell you something? It rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes, and we've heard such stories about how blessed we are, and we are blessed. But I'm telling you, we're in a world that's full of sin and doubt and corruption. And sometimes, you know, we're going to reap because we're in this atmosphere, we're in this environment. But the best place to be is living by faith for Jesus Christ. It's the best place we can be on this planet, wherever you live. I noticed in Jan's prayer directive, she said that Christians are still strong in these countries as being persecuted. And I like you putting that in there. I thought, you know, because sometimes we feel sorry for them, but they're fighting the good faith. They're going where God called them to go. And their reward will be great here and in heaven. That's where the great and powerful testimonies come from. It's like a living day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego almost, where they were really under fire and they really need Jesus and He really shows up. Even a pagan king could see him in the midst of the fire and identify who he was. And so, you know, yeah, they're persecuted, but I really appreciate you putting that in there, that they're blessed as well. But to pray for them and ask God for strength on them. And so here he is, and he has to leave the promised land after he gets there. And you're thinking, you know, if you called him all that way, and by the way, he didn't need to go anywhere. In Haran, he's wealthy. He's, you know, if you read the scripture and it talks about he took all of his servants, he took all of his wealth, all of his animals and things. And then in 13:2 it says Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. So he didn't need to move. I was talking to someone this morning and said, you know, the brother moved back home with mom. And I said, was it a have to or a need to, or was it just cut? No, it was a have to. Sometimes when we get on a journey and we're not faithful, we'll move because we have to. How many would just rather move because you want to? You have resources and options. I didn't have to move to Ada. I didn't have to. But we have options. Because we're living on a road and trying to say, God, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And when we do, God will provide for us. And here's the second point I want to make. Abraham moves three or four times trying to find the mind of God where he's supposed to be in Canaan. And then all of a sudden the drought comes and he's headed down to Egypt. And here's, in all your going, don't be like Abraham. In all your going, don't fret about problems before they arrive in your going. Remember when he was going down to Egypt? And by the way, he's married to Sarah, and Sarah's like the Raquel Welch of the Hebrews. For some of you young ones, he's the Heidi Klum of the Hebrews. I mean, she's a fox. She's a knockout. She's beautiful. And so you'd think that would be a good thing, but in Abraham's case, and I don't know if he's seen this before, maybe in his goings he's seen a people pull into town, and the Pharaoh, the king, the governor, whoever it was, decided, hey, that's a beautiful woman, and well, she's married. We'll just take her husband out. You know, they were living in a different culture. And so here they are, and he's seen it. It doesn't reveal how he knew this, but it was definitely a possibility that if one of us rode into their town and they thought our wives were beautiful, that they could kill us and take our woman. And so he knew that, but here he is fretting about it before he gets there. Can I tell you something? It does us no good to fret about our going before we get there. How many just likes to get started early? You just be on. I like to get started early in my fretting before I get there. Yeah. Well, let me just pray. Lord, bless. Help them change that, Lord. Just change that. Let them, instead of fret, help them have great expectations before they get there. In Jesus' name. Because we're a lot like that, aren't we? Hey, listen, if it's going to be worried about it, then he should have been worried about Canaan. You know what Canaan means? Humiliated. Canaan means humiliated. God sent him to a city whose name is Humiliated. And you know why it's called Humiliated? Because you know why it's called Canaan? Because it was one of Ham's sons, Canaan, that landed there, names the city, lived there, dwelt there. And you know why it got that name? When Noah, and I'm telling you this because I think this is relevant to worry and stress and oh, did I miss the mark? And sometimes we're so hung up about stuff like that, and we're so hung up, and we can be, how many knows we can be so judgmental at times? It's amazing to me how judgmental us Christians can be. And the reason it's named that is because when Noah, you remember Noah, we talked about him, he prepared the ark and he makes the ark and he sails off into the sunset, well, off into the rain. And finally it lands and here you are and his family, he and his family and his sons and daughter-in-laws, they're the only 8 people on the whole planet left. He's the new CEO, president of the world. Can you imagine? Let's see. Jim Murray, only righteous man on the planet. God floods it one more time. He said he wouldn't do it, but he says it's going to be a partial flood. It's going to be different somehow. Jim Murray lands the ark. Now Jim Murray's in charge of our planet. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But here's what I wanted you to get. All of your kids and say they're married now and all of them's looking at you. You're the CEO of the planet now. You're the head man now. I mean, everybody, you know, all the decisions come through you. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Your man, your family, your whoever, that's, and so here's what he does. Noah lands the ship God lands it, but he gets out and he plants a vineyard. And I don't know that he said this, but he did this. You know what I'm going to do when I get first? I'm going to plant me a vineyard. I'm going to grow me some grapes. I'm going to make me some wine. And I'm going to just get drunk. Now that makes some of you really uncomfortable. But that's what he did. Whether he said it or did it, that's what he did. And I don't think growing grapes and getting, you know, And just think of it. Give him a break. He's the head CEO of the planet. He just had to save every animal, every life, and, you know, quit being so holy. I'm telling you, I'd have probably drank a little too much too. Jana's saying, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? I don't know. I don't know. Pray. Now, I'm kind of being facetious, but I'm not. That's what the Bible said. He got drunk, and then he passed out in his tent. And I'm sure he didn't feel better the next day, but for a little while, he got relief from all this stress and strain and worry. And Ham came into the tent and saw him naked and didn't cover him up. And the other two went in and walked backwards and covered him up. And so he says to Ham, you know, there's to be a cursing on you. Now you'll be the servant. And it passed on to his sons. And so Canaan now has become, and I think more than humiliated, it becomes the servant, the place of servanthood, which became Jerusalem, which became the center focus point of God's city that he has on this planet, started by Abraham. Even though this was pronounced on Canaan, this is where God sent him back to. And because servanthood is what was pronounced on him, you'll be the servant. And how many knows the Bible says, the greatest among you will be a servant. Be a servant. I told Adam this morning, I said, I've really been praying over our board and our pastors and our leaders here. And here's what I got. And I'll just give it early. I'll probably repeat it. But for you, you know, you're the crowd that comes, rain, shine, sleet, or snow, you're here. And I said, I really feel like if you will humble yourselves as leaders here and as members here and serve each other, I feel like that God will just continue to bless our church for many, many years. I really do. And serve each other. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants from you in this particular part. This is where you operate. This is where God has sent you. This is where you have gone to. And I just feel like if there's a humility here and a servant attitude that surrounds this place, it's just going to continue to be a strong and healthy church. I really believe that with all my heart. And it's easy sometimes not to be, isn't it? Especially if you've got the load and bearing the brunt. This past week, I called Kathy and I noticed our yards this year. I thought, I'm just going to kind of back off and look and see what happens. And I've always organized that. And so I thought maybe somebody might step in. And we have, you know, they talked about the awesome mowing team. And some of you need to step up. You can't serve as teacher and this and that. But in your going, you need to say, I'm going to go up and I'm going to mow the churchyard and I'm going to be a part of a team. Because doesn't God's yard look better today? And then I thought, wow, we got it all in order Wednesday night, and then here comes the rains. Thank you, Lord. But I called Kathy, and she said, oh, thank you very much. I have stressed over that for 3 days. Because we had asked her, Mark and I had asked her, how about, you know, she usually makes her calendar, and she usually kind of, you know, she'll ramrod a little bit, if you know what I mean. Jim Murray's not a ramrod. He's not made that way. He's a helper. He'll help you do anything. And what a blessing he has been to this church, he and Jan and their servant attitudes. But Kathy, she's a servant as well, but she's more open and vocal and, hey, you're on next and this kind of thing. And that's what it takes to, you know, arrange a schedule and hold it and stuff. And so when I called her, she said, thank God. And it just was relief to her. But this is something I've been praying about and looking at and thinking about And what I came up with was this, and we'll talk to the board about it and the pastors, but I said, you know, told Jan, I said, why don't we go up and help mow? And Mark said, I'll help you. And I called Vernon. He said, sure, I'll help. And so we came up on Wednesday night, had dinner together, and then we mowed the yard. It's a different going, isn't it? But here's what it is. It's all ministry. And I said, just possibly you might want to pray about it, but the mowing crews might be better off on Wednesday night. It's a time we're all here together, and if you come on Wednesday night, you might say, you know what, I'll ride a mower. Jana rode the John Deere. She looked pretty good on a deer. And help mow and stuff. But it's all ministry, whether, you know, Eric's in here teaching and Children's Church is back there being ministered to, and Ground Zero's over there being ministered to, and we're ministering to God's law. It's all ministry. And I'm just saying, in our going, things may change. It may, but we don't need to fret about it. We just need to find the mind of God and do it. Find the mind of God and do that. We can be like Abraham and say, you know what? And here's what he did. He fretted. And here's the guy that's in the Hall of Fame. When he fretted, he lied. When he was asked, is this my wife? No, it's my sister. Well, it was his wife. And it's not a half lie. It's a lie. The man that is in the Hall of Fame of faith lied. And not only did he lie, he got his wife to lie with him. And you know how he did it? He told her, he said, you know, you're a good looking woman and they're going to kill me and you're going to live. And for your sake, would you tell them and would you partner with me in this lie? And what's she going to do? Again, I want you to remind you that, you know what? Sometimes we look at people that we know we've caught them in a lie or we've, you know, a half truth, whatever you want to call it. And we think, oh man, I don't see how they, God blesses him. I don't see how. You know what? Well, two men in the Hall of Faith, one got drunk and passed out, and the other lied twice over the same issue. Even after God had rescued Sarah, he does it again. And here's what I want you to get in your going. Don't be judgmental, because everybody in their going has weak areas that they're going to have to deal with. And just because that's not one of your weak areas doesn't mean it's that you don't have a weak area. And if you don't think you have a weak area and you want to know what your weak areas is, come ask us and we will tell you. We'll enlighten you. Because we all know what your weak areas are. You know what mine is. We know. And we'll help you. So you won't have to be so judgmental. I think that's what people loved about Jesus Christ. He didn't judge them. He loved them exactly where they were. And people would say about him, you know what? You don't have to worry about him judging you. You just go and he'll touch you and love you right where you are. Doesn't matter what you are or what you profess to be or don't know. He'll just love you exactly where you are. If you want to be like Jesus and you're going, just love people right where they are. The man that has asked me to help him. He's not connecting with people. He's asking me to help him teach. He's a Buddhist. And we had a meeting this last week. And just a very nice man. And his goal is to help athletes, golfers in particular, down at Windstar, be mentally prepared. How many knows that's a good goal? If you've ever played the game of golf, anybody's ever played golf? It's a fun-loving, stressful game. Let me give you a picture. I thought if I teach the golfers down there, if it winds up and fits for me and them, I'm going to give this illustration. Ed Pendle, I think, told me this years ago. Said a guy was out golfing and he just had such a frustrating day and just nothing went right. And he goes into the locker room and he just cut his wrist and he's just standing there over the sink bleeding out. One of his friends comes in and says, hey, we're getting a tournament. And he said, oh, when? That pretty much pictures golf, doesn't it? It's so frustrating, but you just, you know, it's a game. My brother-in-law took me and treated me my birthday to a game of golf and lunch and things and had a good time down there with him. But I shot terrible. But I didn't, mentally it wasn't a bad game for me because I knew I would shoot terrible because I don't practice golf. I don't put in the time. Some of you, when you're going, you get so mentally stressed in where you're going and doing, you know, check out. Is your expectations up here? Is it with your disciplines? Because sometimes we expect way up here and our disciplines way down here and you need to get those together. And that's what I'll work with those athletes on if I, choose to train some of them. Because, I mean, if they're different, that's where your frustration's coming in. And if it's not that, then you have a talent issue and you need to change. If you put in the discipline and the expectations is here and you're still down here, there's a talent issue. And you've got to adjust. And sometimes we just have to, I call it define reality. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? We sat yesterday at a guy at breakfast. We rode our bikes downtown Ada and my wife is, you know, she's restored, or my brother-in-law restored her bike, and so I went and bought me one, and we rode down there. And the guy was just obnoxious, sat right behind me. And he just talked loud, where everybody in the restaurant could hear him about how smart he was and how much money he made. This guy don't even have a car. Now, I don't say you have to have a car to be smart and rich, but I'm just telling you, you can tell he's not. That what he was saying was, and he just... Don't be that. You know, in your going, be like Abraham. He was humble, but you know what? When it was time in his going to stand up, he would. And that's why God, I think, chose him. Because he would, you know. But here's what I want you to get. Now, don't be judgmental. If he lied twice and God still put him in the Hall of Fame, and Noah was drunk and passed out and still made the Hall of Fame, maybe we should be more gracious in our walk. Well, it'd have been a good time to say, amen, Pastor. Now, I want to show you, look in chapter 13. Here's point number three. Then Abram, in 13:1 Genesis, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Remember, he don't have to go. He's under obedience. He's not moving because he's stressed out about finances. He's not moving for a job promotion. He's rich already where he's at. He's blessed wherever he goes. And I think we should be the same way. In our going, we should be in tune with God and where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do and receiving blessings. Don't mean we won't have battles. It just means that overall we're expecting blessings. The expectations are up here. Verse 3, he went on his journey from the south to Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning. He makes all this circle. And he comes back and to the, you know, three times he moves in Canaan, and then the famine takes him back to Egypt, and then he circles back around to the very place where he started from the beginning. I thought, kind of like us going home. You know, I've never thought, for years we never thought we'd ever leave Oklahoma City. That's where our kids are and grandkids, and we just never thought we would leave here. But I'm telling you, it's a God thing for us. But I thought we're back almost to the beginning of where we were. Now, here's what I want to give you. Point number three. Where you are right now may be where God intends for you to be. Right where you are. Some of you thought, Marlene called me yesterday and she said, is this Pastor Jack? You know, Marlene is getting up in years. And I said, this is him. Well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm weeding my garden. And she said, well, I won't keep you long, but I just want you to know I fell. And I fell and I hurt my knees and my hands and skin them up. And she said, so I won't be there. I hadn't been there a couple Sundays, and this will be three. And I just wanted you to, I said, you know, I appreciate that so much. I said, you calling and telling me so we don't have to worry about you. And I asked her before we got off the phone and had prayer with her and all. And she said, well, I'll be back. And I said, well, I hope I'll see you before I leave. I said, I got, you know, a couple more Sundays after this Sunday. And she said, well, I just want you to know I'm going to miss you a lot. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And she just bragged on me, you know, as her pastor. And I thought, and I like that. If you want to brag on me, just call me anytime. And then she's just let me know she wasn't happy about me leaving. This is what I told Marlene. This is what I'll tell you. Well, I'm leaving. Jesus is staying. I said, when you need to worry, when Jesus leaves. You know, if Jesus leaves, get out of here. I don't care where you are. If Jesus isn't there, don't stay. It's kind of like a church where an old cowboy went to in his old boots and jeans one day, and the pastor said, you know, we just don't dress like that. And I wish you'd just kind of pray about how to dress when you come to our church. He said, well, I will. So he showed up the next week and he had his boots and jeans on. And the preacher said, well, did you pray? I told you to pray about what to wear. He said, well, yes, sir, I did. He said, I asked Jesus. I said, what do you think I should wear up there? He said, I don't know. I've never been up there. In all your going, make sure you're like Abraham. How many knows if God sends you somewhere, he'll go before you? But I'm just saying, right now where you are, I feel like right now where we are is right in the center of God's will. It's different, and when I don't show up here and I don't preach, it's going to be a lot different. I don't know how I'm going to feel or react, but I just know it's going to be different. And I know I'll still preach, and I'll still teach, and I'll still do those things. I just don't know exactly where or when or how, because that's what I do. In my going, I know that I would do some of that. So in your going, that's why it's important for you to know what it is God's part for you, because in your going, that won't change. You could send Jan Murray all over the world. She's still going to pray. You could send Jim Murray all over the world. He's still going to be a helper. He's still going to be a support and a post. You know, same with a lot of you, and I could just name you off. But you're just going to be your pillars. You're this or that. You use your talents, use your gifts, and all you're going, that won't change. You'll still be that when you get there. How many knows Abraham was still a shepherd and a businessman, and he was just successful wherever he went. All of his going. And then look in verse 4. Abram, he goes to the back to Bethel. He says, to the place of what? The altar. The place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. That's my last point I want to give you is, wherever you go, don't forget to build yourself an altar. Wherever that is for you. An altar is not where you go and pour your heart out to God and get up and take off. An altar is a place where you go and talk to God, but more importantly, it's a place where you go and listen to God. Are you with me? We miss that sometimes in the church because we have the written word, but God is still speaking. He said, my sheep know my voice. An altar is a place where you talk to God. And by the way, I think he says pray without ceasing. Everywhere we go, we should be in conversation with God, talking and listening everywhere we go. Doesn't matter if I'm giving a speech somewhere or teaching or training or whatever I'm doing or working on an old house that's dilapidated. I'm just having conversation with God because I'm restoring something. I'm putting something back in a sweet spot. That's what I do, and I don't care what it is. I'm going to be talking to God during the day, in the mornings, in the evenings, whatever, until I get direction about where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I need. That's what an altar is. It's where you have conversation with God. Not dialogue, it's conversation, it's interactive, where you're talking and listening, and God will help you. Right now, part of my dialogue is, what part do I want to do? I've got more direction now than I did when we had our first meeting with a buddy, this guy that's wanting me to come and help him teach. He's not connecting, he wants me to help him, and so I've got more direction. I'm going to help him regardless if I speak or not. That's what I've been told. I'm going to help him prepare it best he can. If he'll take out some of the stuff that I feel like doesn't fit me, that I don't want my name on, then I'm probably going to go and help him teach. If he doesn't, I'll help him teach and just tell him, don't put my name on it. But that came through having an altar, through conversation of a door that God opened. And that's what God does for us in our goings. In our going. We're all at different places, going different places. Some of us are going into retirement before long. And according to Jim and Jan, it's not all that bad. In fact, I think their prayer is, you know, when it's going to be heaven when Maritza gets out and the dog dies. I think that's what they're waiting. Yeah. Total freedom. Canaan land for the Murrays. That's why Jan and I just sold our dog early. We thought we can't put up with him till he's dead. We're going on to the promised land, baby. don't forget to make yourself an altar. You know, I started to go on, but with that because you know he wasn't selfish and he let Lot pick out the land and all that. But that came from the altar, didn't it? All that came from the altar, saying, you know what, I'm not in competition with my relatives. I'm not in competition with a company or a church or whatever. I'm completing. I mean, our service here and our going is to complete each other. And that's some of you do that so well here. You just, whatever we need to do, you just help complete it and finish it up. And I think that's why this church will continue right on. Father, thank you for showing us that in our going, sometimes we're going to be stressed. We may even lie. And you still love us and you'll still use us. We may lie two or three times, just like Abraham did, and you'll still love us and you'll still use us in our going. Thank you. Thank you for all of the grace that you give to us. Help us not be judgmental for people in their going. Sometimes we're so judgmental about this one, you know, especially if a Christian like Noah would get drunk, or a Christian like Abraham would lie. Help us in our going to be merciful and non-judgmental to our brothers and sisters. That's your job. Our job is just to go forth and to be all that you called us to be light and salt, right where you call us to be. So help us to be that. to love you and build our altar and go wherever it is that you call us to go. And then make us a blessing and bless us right where we are in our going so that we can be men and women of faith in our going. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.